Last week we started with, I actually shared a couple testimonies, and we're going to share a few testimonies with you today, just to start with. And I've actually asked a few of my people who have had, and Connie, I don't know if you can think of anything really quick, but, you know, if you can, that's okay. And if not, I didn't get to you. So, but things that are happening in the ministry. And, you know, this last week we had a huge, huge miracle in the church, okay? And you know, one thing we always want to remember is that we are all together, one body in this. You know, we're not every single and doing anything out on our own, but there was a guy, and we've walked part of their family through deliverance, not all of them, but, you know, it's just the credit to Jesus. But he was, they found a mass in his throat, and we went to the hospital and prayed for him, and there were a lot of people going and praying for him and stuff, again, like the body coming together. But they found a mass, and they thought it was cancer. They put in a trach right away because he couldn't breathe. And when they went in and they did some tests, it was not cancer. But, yeah, I know, isn't that awesome? I mean, if you thought you had cancer and you found out it wasn't cancer, you'd be, yes, from now on, I am free. You'd be shouting. I'm going to shout it out loud. So then he still had to go have the mass out. And about 3 weeks ago or whatever, I think it was, he went in to the hospital and literally died on the table. And by mistake of the hospital, basically. But he died, went into cardiac arrest, and died right there on the table. And they revived him. Very traumatic experience. And they were going to remove that trach, because I think, too, maybe, and then remove the mass. I don't know. It was something with maybe both of them or whatever. So he ended up then being sent home with nothing done. And the goodness of God on this man is amazing. But it's amazing on all of us, isn't it? Amazing on all of us, because you know what? God has no favorites. He doesn't. I have no favorites with my children. I love them all. They're all precious. There's not one I love better than the other, and God's like that. So we should be like that. So anyway, he went in to get the mask removed the other day, and the mask is gone too. Hallelujah! Isn't that cool? Some of you know who I'm talking about, and I'll let him, hopefully, yeah, he's going to get to tell his own testimony. But isn't that an awesome testimony? You know, he lives in a place called done, you know, and we need to get that full provision on the cross. And when we begin to position ourselves in that, you know, we will begin to see these good things. And, you know, we've just been seeing so many, many good things. We've, you know, saw a baby come back to life. I read you that a while back ago. In the womb, the baby was dead, and God brought this baby back to life. It was back in last fall, November, maybe December, maybe it was, I don't know, it was on a Thursday, when we were doing our Thursday night classes. We've had people delivered of pain, a little boy that had a dead bone in his leg, the bone came back to life, you know, and it's just amazing some of the things that we have been watching, God. Some of them have been progressive. Vicki, you want to come up and share some of the good things that you need the mic, though? Did you bring that? What happened to it? Okay. And while she's talking, I'm going to think of some more things, because we've just had so many good things happening. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that you can just, you don't even need a one-on-one with people. You can get delivered just coming to this class. I know that when I first started coming to Bev's class, that's where I got most of my deliverance, was sitting in her class. And she wasn't even doing corporate deliverance at that time. But she would tell me truths out of the Bible. And then I thought, well, okay, Lord, if you said that I can be free of this, then I would go home and I would look in the mirror and I would say, all right, now you come out of me in the name of Jesus. And I just did it by faith. I didn't feel anything. But that's, all of a sudden, I started getting a lot of freedom. So this place literally should be full. And it's not. And so you need to tell everybody that they can come here and get free. God's people can be free. I was saved when I was really little and walked around defeated for most of my life until I passed her class. We were still over in the little church. And I heard her get up and stand and say, "The enemy shudders when I get out of bed." And I thought, what? I thought, I'm going to go listen to her because I would love it if the devil would shudder when I get out of bed. So that's how I started coming to her class. And that set aside, we've had so many victories. Myself and Bernie Eisenbrown ministered to a little gal. Her name is Maria, and she won't mind me mentioning her name because I've asked her if I can share her testimony. I don't think she's here today, but anyway, last year she came to see us, and she was on, I think it was six, if I'm not mistaken. I believe six psychotropic drugs. From the time she was eight years old, she was put in a psych ward, and from that time on, she's been on a lot of heavy-duty medication. When she started reading me the list of the drugs she was on, I was amazed that she was even able to talk. Because being a nurse, I know what those drugs do to you, and they lay you out. And so she came for deliverance. She was diagnosed with schizophrenia, bipolar, and I think something else. I can't remember. So anyway, we ministered to her, and it took a long time because we were talking to a lot of pharmakia, a lot of, you know, the drugs themselves. But she kept coming and persevered. And she called me a couple weeks ago, and I just talked to her yesterday, too. She's off all of her medication except for one, and she's only on half the dose. And she is a totally different little gal. It is. It's just, oh, I get so excited. And I see my sweet little Christina Cantu back there. Raise your hand. I know I wasn't. Anyway, we've been ministering to her too. She has gotten so much freedom that I'm so proud of her because she's still plowing through some stuff. So if you need some encouragement, you go talk to her because she knows how freedom feels and she's not giving up. Same with her mother. Oh, yes, her daughter's the one whose baby came back to life. So if you want to raise your hand again, somebody might want to come and see you. Yes. And then now, the people that I minister, I tend to say they're mine. They belong to me like it's my Bev and my Evelyn, my Pastor Kringle. You know, you're all mine. So my Michelle, she's back there. I don't know if she'll let me. Can I talk about you? Okay. I didn't give her a choice. Michelle Shute came to us, and she was diagnosed with a blood clot on her brain. And someone from this church she went to her for therapy, right? And the doctors had said, we cannot operate. You know, it's in a spot in the brain where it's inoperable. And so she had begun to have seizures, and you're going to have to live with this. We can't help you. And this gal that came to our church said, come to Life Church because we can help. They help people. So that's how she came here. That's how she started coming. But we ministered to her, and we were calling things out. And she had, you don't mind if I tell this? Okay. She's behind the camera if you ever want to go talk to her in the purple shirt right there. She had a grand mal seizure in front of us. Well, it happened to be Bernie Eisenbrown and I. She's a paramedic. I'm a nurse. We just let that seizure roll, and we just kept pulling stuff out. Now, as a nurse, when you have a grand mal seizure, you usually cannot remember anything for a long time afterwards, and you have to go to bed for hours afterwards. Well, we called things out. She remembers everything that happened. When she got up, she could drive herself home. And I don't know. I think it's you've had a couple since then, but not many. It's been a year since she's had. Okay. That is so exciting, and I got a lot more testimonies, but I'd be here for probably another hour.
We're gonna make her sit down, but we'll get her back up again sometime, okay?
Run yes, down, so. I've got a lot of them. They're really good. So anyway, I'm glad you're all here, and if you're here, you're going to get free because it's not an option, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, I don't need that, I guess. Amen. And you know what? So many of the people that are coming are people who press, and it's kind of like, you know, when you know then it's your right to have what God provided. Jesus said healing is a children's bread, meaning, and he was talking about deliverance. So that means it belongs to us, you know, and God doesn't withhold from us, but sometimes we have to get ourselves positioned correctly because we come in sometimes with so much baggage. And that's where I think the process comes, is because God has to move us to a place where we can be able to receive from him. And, you know, and even as you begin to start getting some of the darkness off of you, you can begin to see better, begin to understand more of what God has for you, you know. And so, you know, that's just a few of the testimonies. I mean, every person in the group, we have one that, and I've read that before, had genetic emphysema. Is that right? And only had, she was going to have a lung transplant. And today, I believe now you have 60% of your lung capacity back. And I think we are almost at 5%. Raise your hand, honey. I mean, those are miracles that are happening in our midst. And those guys are not little things. They're huge, you know. And so she will walk all the way to her 100%, you know. So we're seeing people come off drugs. We're seeing people, whether it's street drugs or pharmakia, coming out of depression, coming out of bipolar, coming out of manic depressant, coming out of schizophrenia, coming out of physical infirmities, sickness and diseases, you know, and they're smart enough to get in and press until they lay hold of it. And, you know, God is really doing something in breaking us through in the seizure area. And Caleb doesn't have seizures anymore. Our little Caleb doesn't cycle seizures anymore. You know what? That's huge. That is huge. We prayed for a young man last week. I told you that. And when we begin to call the, and he had grand mal seizures, when we begin to call those spirits of seizures out of the different brain waves, I mean, he said it was like seeing lightning go off in his brain. I haven't talked to him this week, but I'm going to, so I can get you a good report. And he totally felt he had been set free, totally set free. But God is doing a mighty, mighty work in our midst. Amen. Nancy, you want to share anything? Not really? Grab the mic. You don't even have to come up. You can just stand down there. I like being down here too, but they make me get up here. So, but
we've just been preaching to a gentleman who has had headaches for 10 years, and his headaches have been so bad that he wasn't even able to work. He couldn't enjoy life. He had to move in with his parents, and he came out of desperation. And we've been so thrilled that as we've been praying with him, that they've lessened up, that he can actually hold down a job now. He's not totally free, but we're getting him there. And other parts of his life have been coming forth too. And we prayed for another gentleman who would hear voices, and they weren't telling him very good things to do. And we worked with him for a long time where he's able to hold a job. He doesn't hear the voices anymore. He can understand the word. And it's just unbelievable how free people can get. It's just all these little steps, and all of a sudden then you can see the freedom. And it's an entirely new life to be set free.
Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that good stuff? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Those are just some of the stories. And I should probably, you know, even let my team come up on more of a regular basis and all of us share what we're experiencing. You know, there's so many, many good things. There was a little girl here last week who had been adopted and has never called her mother mom, never called her mother mother, and was set free and turned around and said, "I love you, mommy," last week. Mom was just crying. It's the first time. That's a miracle. That's not little either. That's huge, you know. And you know, God wants to restore and bring back to us. And, you know, I've talked to you before about a lot of things are in layers. And, you know, when we go in and we begin to get these layers off of us and allow God to begin to bring us, you know, the demonic endeavors to rob us of our God-given destiny. You see, and destiny is healing, health, wholeness, soundness. It's that whole man coming into alignment. And Nancy, I think you were even healed of fear, delivered of fear, sitting in the audience She has a testimony on that for herself as we were doing corporate deliverance, and she was literally set free from a life of fear. Many, many people have that, so or have been set free from that. So when you come, come expectant, and when you hear people, get them in here because Jesus wants his people free. Amen? Because then we can do what God has for us. And my prayer for you guys is that literally you will begin to, as you begin to start getting free and positioning yourself, and when you sit here and you begin to get revelation of what God's done, that you get up and become a doer of that word. And you say, that's me. And I will be free. And you can speak to that. You know, I've said this, when we're calling stuff off, then you say, yes, you go from me in the name of Jesus. Get out of my life and begin to press in and begin to believe that You're going to be up here giving a testimony, and it might be a progression. I literally prayed with a woman yesterday who has been through cleansing streams 5 different times, and that's a type of it's a deliverance ministry. In fact, we did that the very first time we began the ministry here, and my goodness, yesterday God did such a miraculous work in her, because we go in and we get the deep stuff. And you know what? We'll get your deep stuff if you want the deep stuff up. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. It's just good. You know, and we're going to finish today on rejection. So rejection, it's really interesting, because rejection can cause you to reject what God has for you. Those spirits work in your life. It's not like, well, I just have this spirit of rejection and I think nobody likes me, everybody hates me, guess I'll go eat worms. It's like when you have rejection, that rejection spirit works against you in every arena of your life. It wants to steal, kill, and destroy relationships, the benefits of God, the blessings of God. It wants to keep you from being able to open up and accept the love of God. But when you accept the love of God, you will accept his healing. You'll accept his blessings. You'll accept his provisions. You see? So when we're unable to receive what God has for us, and you feel like, well, I'm just in so much doubt and unbelief, it really well, very well can be a spirit of rejection in operation, that you think, well, I know God has this, and I know he did it, but I don't know if I can be one of those that can get it, or I can't receive it. But yes, you can. You see, and it's those that are pressing, like the woman with the issue of blood. You know, why did she press? Because she knew in her heart that if she would press, she would lay hold. She knew that because of her covenant with God, and we all have even a better covenant. Our covenant is better. And so when we begin to press, because we know provision has been made at the cross and this belongs to me. When my son was healed and the church told me to accept that as my cross to bear, and my mother told me, Bev, just accept the fact that he's going to be a cripple and the doctors gave us no hope, I pressed. Because I didn't know a lot, but at least I was smart enough to know that there was a God who loved me enough that he could heal and he would heal my child. You see? So when we begin to press, because there's things sometimes that we have to learn, things we have to remove, but never, never give up. Keep pressing. And when you're in that press, say, God, help me. Show me how to get a hold of it, because he will. He cares about you. He loves you. You are important to God. I have read this prayer the last few weeks on the Father's love. And last week I shared, a lady had come to me and she said, Bev, I've been reading this every day. Remember I told you to read this every day. Declare his love over you, especially if you've had a hard time in your life accepting the love of God. Then say what the word says about you. Faith comes from hearing this word. So when we speak the word, it positions us. You know, the word of God will position you to receive. So when you begin to declare this word, it positions you to know God loves you. And she came to me, and I asked her to write it. She called me, and she said, she goes, it's like medicine to me. And what is medicine? What's medicine supposed to do? It's supposed to make you feel better, isn't it? And so she kept reading these and feeling better and better and better and better. And that's a great testimony. And that's miraculous. It's miraculous to know the love of God and to know that he loves you when we don't think he loves us. That's a miracle to get that revelation, and it's a miracle we need, you see. But what did she do? She pressed. And she, how was her pressing? Just declaring this word every day, you see. So be doing that. And Susie and Dan, you probably don't have one, so I'm just going to give you mine, so y'all can take that one home too and declare that. We have a couple here from Texas that are visiting for the week. Okay, I'm just going to finish up on rejection. I've been going through the roots of rejection, and today I'm going to go through some of the fruits of it. And so what you're wanting to do while I'm talking about this is listen and identify any of those things that could possibly be in your life, okay? And I'm going to talk about a little bit about the repercussions from the wrong reactions of rejection. Rejection always will bring wrong reactions in our life. They're triggers. And when you find yourself having wrong reactions and not responding correctly to things, sometimes we need to stop back and take a look at ourselves. Well, why do I trigger all the time? Or why do I react? You see, because when we can recognize the source of that, we can remedy it. And we can remedy it through two means: deliverance, and then getting our flesh in alignment with the Word of God. You see, we got a part with this too, and I talked about that a few weeks ago, but we have a part in not playing into those old habitual patterns that we've been raised up in most of our lives. Because, see, the devil wants to raise us. He wants to nurture us with all of his garbage so that, you know, we begin to act like he acts. You see, and so I've said this before, but anger raised me, alcohol raised me, rejection raised me, bitterness raised me. Those were all major characteristics of my father. You see, and all those spiritual forces, which he didn't know that that's what they were. We, none of us did. But those were spiritual forces in him then that raised his children. So you see how that goes from generation to generation. The spiritual forces can pass genetically, but then also they are there to train you into a way of life. So once you come and you go through deliverance then, you know, because we're not going to cast your mind out and your brain out. You see what I'm saying? So you need to get your mind renewed to the Word of God. What you do is you get yourself lined up with how God would have us to live and act. And then all of a sudden, we are raising our children with love and peace and patience and long-suffering. You see what I'm talking about? What a better way to be raised. And we are able to do that when we get free and then line ourselves up with the Word of God. We just become different people. Okay? All right, repercussions from the wrong reactions of rejection. These are just a few of them. But a person becomes imprisoned within themselves. And what that simply means is they are not free to give out, are not free to be what God has called them to do, or not free to do what God has called them to do. And an example of that would be like with myself when I said I used to have so much rejection. And with rejection always comes the fear of man. What are people going to think about me? How are people going to receive me? Am I going to be good enough to do this? And so that was a huge hindrance to me in having the call of God on my life to minister in teaching, because I had no confidence within myself that when I got up, I would ever be able to have anything to say that would be good, that would be anointed, that could help other people. You see what I'm saying? So I had become imprisoned in my life to fear of man, fear of what people thought, which the root of that was nothing more than rejection. You see? So when I got free of the rejection, then it's like you almost have a strength on the inside of you to not have to succumb to that anymore, those voices. And it's like you can rise up strong on the inside. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that I all of a sudden begin to experience, is that I didn't have to be afraid. I didn't have to care what other people thought about me. I didn't have to perform anymore. I could be free. And when I began to walk in that freedom, I also became better at doing what God called me to do, because the hindrances were removed. See, so you can see how rejection wants to imprison you within yourself and keep you almost like in a stronghold of fear or anxiety, whatever it is. See, and so recognize what it is you're dealing with so God can set you free, so you can bring that stronghold down, get rid of the strong man, and you let Jesus be the strong man in your life. Okay, there can be a loss of identity. In other words, trying to be an extension of someone else's personality instead of who you are. And many, many people who walk in a lot of rejection, they always are wanting to be somebody else, act like somebody else. You know, they wish they could be doing this or wish they could be doing that. And they, you know, and sometimes people will even act out different personalities, you know. And what does that do? It robs you of who you are. You know, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God made you to just be you. And when you're not you, then God can't use you to bless other people or to you know, just be who he wants you to be. So we need to get our identity back. And entrapment, one of the other repercussions would be entrapment. And that would be being in a place where you feel there's no solution. And have you ever been there before, in a place where you just feel like there's no solution to your problem? See, the enemy comes to entrap, but we all know we do have solutions. So if you're thinking that today, that there is no solution to my problem, you've been somehow entrapped by the enemy, and you're in the best place you can be. Because God will break down the walls of your entrapment, and you'll come out of that captivity, and you'll see hope, and you'll see your answer, and then you'll be able to lay hold of your answer. Just like all these testimonies, you know, this little girl that Vicky was talking about, oh my goodness, she felt there was no hope for her. I mean, literally, she did. And when she first came, I mean, she just looked so depressed, so down, so downtrodden, and she smiles. She just has a completely different air about her. And why is that? Because her identity is coming, blossoming up. And rather than that stinking identity of depression and hopelessness, you see what I'm saying? God is so good. Another repercussion would be withdrawal, and that's escaping from responsibilities. And, you know, when I'm going through these, if it's kind of like if they say if the shoe fits, wear it. Okay, well, if this shoe is fitting you, it's time to grow out of it. Okay, it's time to get out of this, okay? But it's a good way to recognize so that you can see that, okay, God, this is what I'm doing, and this is how I'm acting, and I don't like this. And when you see this, just like you might see, well, okay, this is what I'm doing, and I thought this was the way I just was, but it's not the way you really are, you see, because it's not the way God made you, is it? I used to think I was just different until I found out rejection, and that I just couldn't fit in, until I found out rejection was actually a spirit. And then it's like, that isn't me then, you know, because I identified with the way I had been raised all my life, and that's who I thought I was until I got set free. And then I found out that really wasn't who I had been all those years. And you do find a new identity. That is the cool part. You know, some people say, I don't even know myself anymore. Hallelujah. But you like who you are then. Okay, so withdrawal, escaping from responsibilities. Are you a person that tries to get out of responsibility, or you don't take your responsibility, or you escape responsibility? You know, those are things that are not right. And so what is the root of that, and what can you do then? Again, it's not just us casting the devil out of you, those demons out of you, which we need to do, but then you have to step into your part of it also and begin to walk that out. And I cannot begin to express that enough. I think I say that every week. But we all have to do our part. We have to, once we are free of these things, We don't have to be subordinate to it anymore. We don't have to submit to it anymore. Therefore, I'm not going to. That way, if I don't have to, I can submit to who God wants me to submit to. Him, His Word. Okay, and then also withdrawal would incorporate escaping from unpleasant circumstances, which that could even get us into an area of fantasy where we fantasize. Fantasy is so unreal. It's something you will never touch. It's something you will never be. So why waste your time fantasizing about anything? You see, it's a trick of the enemy to get you off, try and get you to dream that you are somebody you are not. So therefore, you spend your time trying to be this person you've fantasized, and again, you're being robbed of the wonderful person God made you to be. You see how that's a trick of the enemy? So if you're a person that catches yourself fantasizing, pull yourself back. Bring yourself back from that. Cast that spirit of fantasizing out, and then if you catch yourself, you bring yourself back. We don't have to submit to that. Cessation of love. People can begin to have an inability to receive love from people. We begin to close up. We are not able to freely give love to other people because we have all these walls of self-protection and all the walls of fear that I'm going to be hurt, walls of distrust where you don't feel you can trust anymore. You see, those are all fruits that need to be plucked out of your life because we need to be able to trust people. Not that everybody is trustworthy, those you want to be careful of, but there are people who are. And you know what? If you can't trust, you can't trust God either, can you? Abandonment of faith, the person loses confidence in God, loses confidence in God's love, you know, and we need confidence that when we go to Him, this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. That's 1 John 4 or 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to His word, we know that He hears us. And if I know that God hears me, then I know I have the answer. You see, so the answer is here. You have to receive it. But see, the enemy wants you to abandon that confidence in God. He wants you to walk in rejection so you don't feel God would help you. He'll help maybe Pastor Kevin or, you know, Connie, but I don't know about me. Yeah, He'll help you too. And then self-deception, which is false belief concerning yourself. A person thinks he's right when he's wrong. That's huge in the air of rejection. I'm always right. You're always wrong. And if you would do it this way, because I know better, this would be right. You see what I'm saying? We begin to walk in a self-deception. What it is, actually, it becomes like, almost like an unteachable spirit. An unteachable spirit. An unteachable spirit actually operates in attention deficit and ADD, ADHD, learning disabilities. But in our own lives, when we cannot receive instruction, godly instruction, but even I think also when we can't receive it from our spouses, from one another, sometimes we become where we think we're the one that's right all the time. You know, sometimes we'd be right by just shutting our mouth, won't we? Yeah. And then infirmity of mind, body, and emotions. And rejection will bring all of that. You can be infirm in your mind, your emotions, and rejection begins to cause stress, which will again then begin to work out through your body, causing all sorts of mostly autoimmune diseases. Rejection, because of the stress and that never feeling accepted, never feeling loved, always that fear and always that apprehension and that anxiety that comes in with that begins to work against the immune system. And then when you need your immune system to be strong, it's not, you see. So those are some things too. When and I've told you that before, Henry Wright has that book out called A More Excellent Way. But in that book, he talks about the roots of that, and rejection brings about many diseases, many weaknesses in our body. So when you see some of those things even operating, that should tell you that you need to be repositioning how you're dealing with situations in your life. And if you're not able to deal with situations correctly, then you may need some deliverance from some stuff that's driving you. Because see, the enemy wants to drive you. He doesn't want you to have peace. A person who is driven is opposite of a person who is peaceful, having tranquility in their life, okay? All right, I'm just going to look quickly at Mephibosheth. And then he's an example of rejection in the Bible. I just think this is really interesting. You know, we read about Mephibosheth and we think, well, he's just somebody who, kind of got the raw end of the deal, which he did. But we don't realize that Mephibosheth, because of all the circumstances that happened in him, literally caused a spirit of rejection to come into him as a little child. And it hindered him later on from receiving from covenant. You see? So it's an example of how if we have a Mephibosheth mentality, our attitudes within our lives, because we are covenant people, but that Mephibosheth spirit, that spirit of rejection, can keep us, just like it did Mephibosheth, from being able to sit at the table of the king and freely eat and freely partake of all that's on that table. See, and on the table of the king is everything you need. So maybe we need to readjust in some of these areas, okay? The story of Mephibosheth shows that rejection is not just a short-lived problem. Now, this was a lifetime thing for Mephibosheth. It's something that, unless it's dealt with, affects every area of our lives. It affects our whole life. It can affect the spirit, the soul, and the body. And basically, it did that with Mephibosheth. Hold on, because I think I had to jump ahead to get to Mephibosheth here on my other paper. Let me keep going ahead, and then I'll just read it when I get to it. When a person does not remember something from their childhood, but they are tormented by something from their childhood, they are tormented literally by a reality in the subconsciousness of the childhood. Rejection begins in our ancestry. The stage is set because of family history. So rejection, because it is, most people deal with rejection to some degree anyway. You know, that is one of the main reasons why Jesus specifically bore our rejection. The Bible says he was rejected of men. But it literally sets a stage for us. And rejection, you know, I've had people come to me who have come for ministry to be set free of rejection, and they are in so much pain on the inside of them from the rejection that it almost makes you want to cry for them. I mean, it can sometimes be that severe where there's no, they just don't like themselves. They are just so intimidated and so crippled by the rejection that it's heartbreaking, but you know that you can get them free. And you know what? Every time you come to this class, you ought to come with a mentality, God, show me how to do this. Let me do it. You know, every time I used to go to church, I would watch people who would minister and I'd want to do it. So I would watch with intent to learn. Intent. You know, and if you have that kind of an intent, you know, you might not end up here preaching this, but God will make a way for you and he'll use you in people's lives. Amen? It is so exciting. You know why this team keeps going and going and going and going? Like the energy bunny there, that's why we do. It's because this is so much fun. It is so awesome to see people's lives. Their joy becomes your joy. It really does. It is just so awesome. Okay, so rejection begins in our ancestry, and it sets a stage in your family history. There's a lot of evidence of rollover in the Bible and showing that rollover is a spiritual problem in the Bible. An example of an inherited characteristic was in Abraham. He was a liar, and he had the fear of man. He was afraid of men, and that was what forced him to lie. He lied about the identity of his wife twice. He had fear, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of being killed, you know, taking his wife or whatever. The root behind all people who lie is fear. Fear of rejection or fear of failure. The spiritual dynamics of a family tree 40 years later then with Abraham comes to Isaac, and Isaac does the same thing. So here you're seeing spiritual rollover. You can look at that in your family, and that ought to be, you know what? When you see spiritual rollover from generation to generation in your family or in your life, or then that should be enough for you to say, you know what? This is going to stop. Especially, you know, we didn't know what we know today. And this is why this message is so important, because we are beginning to realize that we do not have to put up with spiritual forces that have been in our bloodlines forever. And when we recognize them, we have the responsibility then to get them out. And then our children and our children's children do not have to deal with them. Then from generation to generation, instead of getting weaker, generations are going to begin to become stronger. And you know what? As momentum builds in the body of Christ, because we're free, then our children get free. And we don't have to see some of this crud that we've watched our children go through because maybe we didn't know it. You see, but we can get that stuff stopped now. And even if your children are growing up, you know what? That doesn't make a difference. I truly believe that I can begin to declare into the atmosphere and begin to start tearing down structures that have been built in my family and as it's affecting my children, that I can literally take them down in the spirit realm if I'll address them. You know, it's kind of like one day a lady came to me, Lou and I, for prayer on encounter night. And she came up, this is so cool. God is so awesome. But of all the people, and you know how many people we have up here praying, of all the people praying, they walked right up to Lou and I. And of course it was the Lord. But what they had was, she came up and she said, "My little boy has Percy's disease." Now, of all those people up front, whose little boy had Percy's disease? Ours. And so when we saw that, it was like, you know what? I know that devil. I've dealt with him before. I've seen him before. He tried to break my heart before. I know him. And so I was not a force to be reckoned with in going after him. You see? So what the enemy has endeavored to destroy you with, you will become a deliverer of it. Amen. It works that way, folks. It does. Hallelujah. Glory. Isn't that good? I mean, the devil might be trying to break your heart today over junk that he's gotten in and affected your family with. But I guarantee you, you being in this place, learning what you're learning, you're going to take him out. And not only are you going to take him out, but you're going to take him out in the lives of many. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you what, when she came up with that baby, her and her husband, you know, there's just something on the inside of you that growls. Urgh. You know, you just get, it's that righteous anger, you know, because I know how many years we had to deal with that thing. But in that dealing with it, we learned some very key things. And because we would not give up, because we kept pressing, we put pressure on the devil to get out of our lives, and he had to go. It's that simple. Amen? Okay, so we're talking about spiritual rollover here. So let me find my place. Hold on. That one just kind of, I wasn't, it's good stuff. You see, 40 years later, then Isaac doing the same thing. He lies to Amalek, the same king as his father. It was probably the same name. It was probably Amalek's son, okay, but it was generational thing. Isaac says the same exact words as his father did 40 years later. It's recorded. You can read it. He goes, "She's not my wife. She's my sister." Now, who spoke out of Abraham? Was it Abraham or a spirit of fear, a lying spirit? Who spoke out of Isaac? Was it Isaac or a spirit of fear, a lying spirit? Evil spirits don't have very much creativity. Now, this is important to get this. When it comes to manifestations of their nature, they're not too creative. The lie that a spirit would say to one person in their mind, remember, and I've talked about when you keep having thoughts over and over and over, you need to realize those are not your thoughts. Those are voices that are speaking to you, okay? And so when you recognize that, you can start casting voices out. Voices that maybe tell you you're never going to be healed, or you're never going to make it, or you're always going to be poor, or you're always going to have lack, or you're always cursed. You know, those are, and you think that's you thinking, no, that's just the voice of the enemy that you have the authority to cast out. But the lying spirit that would say to one person in their mind is the same thing that it's going to say to the next person in their mind. If you could compare notes, if we could compare notes, we would all be hearing the same voices. And that's the truth, because there's nothing new under the sun. The devil is not creative. He tells one rejected person the same thing he tells the next rejected person. It's all the same stuff, always the same thing, saying the same thing with it. And we do that. We rehearse then. We begin to rehearse. And you know, there is actually like a spirit of rehearsal, that our replay that just keeps replaying it over and over and over. In the arena of rejection, it could be a voice. Well, you know, how many times have I had people come up to me and say, you know what, Pastor Bev, I just don't think you like me. And I've had more than one person say it. So who says that? That same voice. Because I like them. Or I might not even know them. You see what I'm saying? But it's that voice speaking. Okay, so you can see voices replay saying the same thing. So don't think you're any different than anybody else. You're probably getting the same stuff. They're telling you nobody loves you, nobody likes you. You know, they come to accuse over and over and over. Anyway, here you have two generations of liars. Isaac, he just kind of flowed in that same spirit without even a lot of thought about it. Could he have stopped it? Well, he could have, but he just kind of went along with it, didn't he? Probably because he didn't recognize it. You know, most spiritual forces that operate in our lives have been there from the beginning. So remember that time I talked to you about genetics and the nurture and the nature? And so we just kind of flow along thinking, well, this is me. And it's not, you see. But we kind of, and that's probably what they did. And you just kind of roll along with that until God pulls you up a little bit abruptly and says, stop it. But so he could have stopped it, but he probably didn't see a need to stop it. And then if you go then from Abraham, Isaac, and then you look later at Jacob, and Jacob lies to Isaac. So here you got this generational spirit that's in operation going on and on and on within that family. Rejection can be in your family tree even before you're conceived and ready to come into you, because rejection is a sin. So we, a lot of times, will think, well, I need to get rid of sin in my life, like smoking and drinking and lusting and all this other stuff. But how about lying, you know? But how about rejection? That is not your personality, and that is not you. It's a spirit, and it's sin. So we need to hate sin. We need to hate rejection. I said at the very beginning of the class, rejection is probably one of the most evil spirits that there is out there. And it's a strong spirit. It is not a little one. He's a major strong man. In fact, it was specifically even mentioned that on the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, that he had to take rejection for us because it was that far reaching. Rejection is so far-reaching, it will operate, the spirit of rejection, to cause rejection in every arena of your life, if you'll let it. Whether it's with people, whether it's whether you need healing, finances, whatever. Especially when it's all fully provided, but we have an inability to receive it from God. Okay, fruits of rejection. I'm going to look at the fruits of rejection. Rejection, and remember last week we talked about the roots, But roots, you need to deal with the roots to get free. Because if you don't deal with roots, and those were the ways that they came into our lives that I talked about last week. So you need to deal with roots to get free. Because otherwise, if the roots are left, the fruit just comes back. Okay? But going over the fruits, more or less, because they're on the outside, help you recognize areas of this that you're operating in. So this is probably going to read your mail, kind of, so to speak, today, because you're going to see yourself maybe in some of these. Rejection produces its own distinctive fruit. It is often easy to identify the fruit and deal with it without touching the root. But then the root, again, or the fruit, will come back. The fruit of rejection can manifest in either outward visible behaviors or hidden inward behaviors. I know this spirit to the point that when people come up and talk to me, I can recognize it. And I can recognize it in their voices. I can recognize it in a look on their face. I can recognize it by characteristics of the person, because you become familiar with it. And then once you're free of it, then you begin to see how it operated in your life, because it doesn't operate there anymore. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like when I said the lady came up with the little boy with the dead bone, and I thought, oh, I know that thing. I had to deal with that for 2.5 years. It's the same way with rejection. I dealt with that for almost a lifetime. You see? So you become where you can see it, whether even if it's something that's hidden. And so many people, when they are rejected, there's a degree of shame with that. And so, and you know how sad that is, but we feel there's something so wrong with me that we have shame concerning that. Okay, so rejection can be a visible reaction. People can be over emotional. These are some of the fruits or some of the way it expresses itself. It can be over emotional. It can be loudly expressing anger. In fact, when people have a real problem with anger, I would guarantee you their root comes out of rejection, even if it's a generational root. So, like I say, when I sit and I talk with people and kind of hear what they're dealing with, I can know where to back them up to what root, because you become familiar with dealing with these types of things. They can be aggressive, or they can be overbearing. Rejected people sometimes defend themselves by attacking others. If you have a person who is always on the defensive and always attacking others, that again is a fruit of rejection. Because of their fear of being hurt, they put up defensive barriers against access to their own hidden feelings or their own hidden hurts, while at the same time they react strongly to others. Okay, but they're still in the... It's like the dual personality of schizophrenia. And schizophrenia, well, I've taught on that before. I should teach on that one again. But schizophrenia, the root of that is rejection. And then people go to the doctors and they get that drugged. And isn't it sad that you could have just cast that thing out of them? You see? And we know, you know, I truly believe there's degrees of schizophrenia. I think there's real extreme cases, kind of in the middle of the road ones, and then some that are less than that. But I think with people who deal with quite a bit of rejection, because they have so much of this fruit, that at least there is a degree of schizophrenia operating a lot more out there than what we realize. In an inherent or in an internal hidden reaction, emotions may be suppressed, as with like a dam that's long hidden, where their memories are repressed or are held down, which affects the person. A person that represses, normally that's going to outwork often in your physical body, and it deals with, infirmities. Rejected people often escape into themselves because it's easier to hide than to cope with reality, and that again will take you into sometimes a place of fantasy, pretending you're somebody that you're not, pretending that you're somebody you want to be, and all the time missing the wonderful person you are. See, what a trick of the enemy. Okay, there can be a reluctance to communicate honestly so that the real person is not seen. A lot of people who have rejection have this false personality. And then when they're out with other people, they just seem wonderful, happy, never a problem, personality plus. Okay, and then you can see them literally go into another, like all of a sudden they could just be angry and depressed and bitter and insecure, because all those two personalities flip, which again, schizophrenia goes back into a dual personality. Whether outward or inward, the response is unconsciously motivated. And so in other words, people respond without thinking. That's why when you start becoming delivered of this, you can start getting a hold of how you respond, how you react to things, all right? Because all of a sudden, you're in control of your life and not a spirit of rejection, okay? So, and again, though, on the same corner, because you've operated that way for so long and now you're free so you can take control, you also have to remember that habitual patterns have been built in your life. You're in like ruts. So you have to pull yourself out of that rut. You have to almost like renew your mind as to responding correctly. So how do you respond correctly? Begin just to operate. Literally, you could do the fruits of the Spirit would be fine, you know? And that just goes to Colossians 3 where Jesus said, put away from you. See, we can put away from our lives then once we're free, the anger, the wrath, the malice, you see? So you have to, maybe some people, and I did for a while also, that I had to quit reacting my old way, although I knew I was free. And when I got free of rejection, it was like huge, okay? And there were times that in the months that followed or maybe even some of the years that I would have to speak to rejection, but the majority of it came out from the very beginning. But then I found myself having to begin to train myself to respond differently to situations rather than my old way. Some ways were real easy to respond to the new way, but some weren't because they were like hidden little triggers, you see. So then it was my responsibility to deal with those things in the flesh and in the soulish area. Amen. Amen. And we have to do that. Okay. Amen. So if we get you out of deliverance and 10 years from now, you're still acting the same way, we're going to probably question your flesh. I'm just kidding. But it's true. You know, we need to change in those areas. Okay. So whether people are inward, the outward or the inward response is unconscious. It's motivated. In other words, people do not know necessarily until deliverance that they're reacting in a certain way or why they even have certain problems. And this begins to then affect their identity and basic role in life. Some people just think they're angry, but that's not really who you are. See, you are, some people just think their personalities are different and they're not as well liked as other people, but that's not who you are either. You see, but what that does is it unconsciously, especially if you were like a child who was put down a lot by your parents, and so you grew up with no self-confidence, you see, you begin to automatically, unconsciously or subconsciously react inferior or react with insecurity, see, because of that spirit. But then once that's removed, you know, then what you do is like what Liz did, and you get in the Word and start saying who Jesus says you are. You get that new identity established in you, and that might take some time, but it's worth it. It will be worth it. And I guarantee you this too. If you will take the time and the effort, you will become like instruments of gold for the Lord to use. See, God loves it when we put the time even into ourselves to become who he wants us to be. See, everything that I've overcome, God lets me help other people overcome them. You see? So it's like God goes, yes, here's another one. Come on, I got somebody for you to help. You see what I'm saying? See, so that's another reason why it's important that you get set free, but then it's also important that you spend some time putting the Word of God into you and becoming a vessel of honor for God to use, God to help other people, because it's never about just us, is it? You know, when our focus is on self all the time, you know, I think you need to get a devil of self called out of you. You see, our focus shouldn't be always here. And if your focus is always on this person here, then, you know, that's almost like a selfish, self-centered spirit. And rejection always wants you to be centered on who you are or what you're not or what you don't get. You see what I'm saying? So once you get free and determined to get free, then be determined to grow in your freedom. Okay, there are three main types of the fruit of rejection. It's rebellion, self-rejection, and self-protection. Those three things. Rebellion. So a person who has rejection will be a rebellious person. They will have a lot of self-rejection. You know, pride comes in so strong in that rebellion arena. And so a lot of times we'll see people who are rebellious and full of pride, and we'll think there's no way they reject themselves, but they are so vulnerable to a self-rejection spirit. They never are satisfied with who they are. And then the third one was self-protection. They're always building up a network here to protect themselves so that they don't get hurt. Okay, so rebellion. Rebelliousness is an aggressive reaction to rejection that shows itself as opposition or defiance. When a rejected person reacts this way, anyone who gets in his or her way can be affected. Anger. Now, these are the ways, some of the ways it does. Anger, arrogance. You know, have you ever been around somebody that acts like they're better than you? I mean, you can even see it on their face. Criticism. That criticism steps into the arena of rebellion here. It's one of the manifestations of it. Always criticizing. So these things are openly displayed in this person. These emotions may normally be deeply hidden, but will erupt like a volcano when they're provoked, injuring the person and those around them. Rejection always injures the person because the person hates how they act later, but it also lashes out and hurts, especially people that they love. So it hurts people around them. There is a definite link between rebellion and witchcraft. Samuel said to Saul, for rebellion is like the sin of divination and arrogance, like the evil of idolatry. So it brings about rebellion, but it also brings about a spirit of control. A person who has a lot of rejection also endeavors to control, and it is as a form of witchcraft, but it's not actual witchcraft, okay? In operation. But what it actually does is, because the person's life has been so out of order and such a mess and so many things have gone wrong, that person begins to try to control everything around it to try to keep some kind of order. So a lot of times you can find a person becoming very controlling in their life and with people around them, okay? All right, self-rejection. Many people take rejection into themselves and begin to reject and hurt themselves. This can be through hurting or hating themselves, cursing themselves, or being physically violent with their body. So some people can hate themselves. Some people can curse themselves. Well, how do you curse yourself? Always negative self-talk, okay? Or by hurting their bodies. Now, how does that come about? Well, that can come about with, you know, a lot of self-injury, cutting, people who cut themselves, people who even it rolls over into the drugs and alcohol arena, you know, at all. Anything that we do that's destructive within our in ourselves, that root many times and probably mostly always will be a root of self-rejection. There's a sick self-orientation in this reaction. The roots of rejection keep growing while being fed by self-rejected thoughts, words, and actions. It is not difficult to turn the thoughts of rejection inward, and many of those who do so think of it as less sinful than if it's an outward aggression directed towards someone. Yet when we reject ourselves, we finally reject the God who made us. Now, when we deal with rejection, and like I just read to you about how you begin to reject God who made you, your relationship becomes with God is much more difficult. And I've watched people who have had a lot of rejection turn and totally walk away from God because they reject God because they don't feel he accepts them. That rejection operates, is literally a culprit, you know? I mean, it really is a horrible spirit because it will try to feed that person's mind and those voices that God does not love them. And so then they begin to back away because they don't think he loves them anyway. But he really does. You see how it's such a deception? And God is our best answer, our only answer, and that's who we turn away from as our answer. And again, like I said, it can go into any arena of your life. If you need healing and you can't seem to get your healing, God wants you healed. And to be honest with you, it's done. I tell you what, when we get an understanding that it is done, and we grasp that, oh my goodness. You talk about the body of Christ literally being a force to be reckoned with. You see? But begin to, like I even said, take these scriptures and begin to read them over yourself. And you'll find that healing, just like, I love what Liz said. She goes, it's like medicine. Let the love of God be medicine to heal your body. Because it will. You just got to get it into yourself. Okay, self-protection is the next one. Self-protection is caused by fear of rejection. Fear is always around the corner when rejection affects a person. The fear of additional hurt will create defensive barriers that are hard to dismantle and which create major barriers in relating to others and also in relating to God. Many rejected people ask themselves, can I trust anyone? Or will I be hurt again? Or if I open my heart to this person, they're just going to hurt me. Or there's always like this distrust. You can't get into close relationships because there's always a degree of distrust because you're afraid that you're going to be hurt. Do you know, I believe that we can come to a place where we so walk apart from rejection that when people, even if they intentionally want to hurt us, it don't hurt us. It really, I believe you can, because I'm not as sensitive as I used to be. I used to be so sensitive. You know, I used to, you know, like my mom used to say to me, she goes, you know, how did she say that? You know, you would cut off your own nose to spite your face, you know, but it's because we always have that wanting to get even and wanting to protect ourselves, or we always have this chip on our shoulder waiting for somebody to knock it off. You see, well, why? Because of that rejection and that self-protectiveness, and I am not going to let you into my life, and I'll hurt you before you hurt me, or I'll reject you before you're going to reject me. You see how that dumb stuff operates? But we do that, and people do it all the time. We hear it all the time when people come to us. Okay, many rejected, they close off their inner feelings, taking control so that no one can get close enough to cause the same damage. Some people become seemingly emotionless because their defensive barriers are impenetrable. Control is something when you are in control so much in your life out of fear of being hurt. Believe me, God will not be able to get in because you have those walls very well fortified. You need to begin to allow, you know, even today when we pray, when it comes to casting out spirits, I never wonder when I cast a spirit out if it's going to go or not. It doesn't have an option. It has to go. I've done enough of this that I know what Jesus said is true. In my name, they'll cast out devils. So that's what we do. And, you know, I don't wonder anymore. But you can hold on to your demon. And I'm not going to fight you for him. See what I'm saying? You can keep him if you want to. Because we're not going to get into this wrestling match here. You know? I'm not going to do that with you. You need to look at yourself and say, Now, this isn't right. And go, get out of my life in the name of Jesus. You see, we can be our own deliverers. I mean, it's pretty amazing. You see, now I can work with you and try to break down some structures that it has, but this is what I'm doing today. I'm trying to help break down some of the structure that it's set in your life so that when we address it, you can just let it go. And if you won't let it stay, oh my goodness, it cannot stay. You really have more authority in your life than I have in your life. You see what I'm saying? So you can work to get these things out because you want this stuff to be dismantled. So if you're tired of things not going right for you, then get free from rejection, because rejection will cause every good thing in your life to be rejected from you. So you won't be able to lay hold of it. Okay, because people react differently to rejection according to their personalities, there can be manifestations of any of these main roots. It is not uncommon also for all three of those to be involved, and usually there is. Usually with people with a lot of rejection, and even a little rejection, you'll see degrees of rebellion, self-rejection, and self-protection. Okay, I had every one of them. Every one of those things operated, and every one of those things, actually, they became real easily dismantled in my life. When we got into deliverance, I didn't mind getting rid of anything. That was okay for me, but it was embarrassing more than anything else, you know? And so Lou and I would take the book and we'd start casting stuff out of each other. And it was kind of embarrassing at first, like, oh, I gotta admit I have this to him, you know, which is nothing more than pride, isn't it? So it was more embarrassing, but I didn't want it. So we just, all right, cast it out, you know? And wow, it was amazing. But see, that pride and that embarrassment makes you want to hold on to stuff like, oh, I don't want to admit that I have anything wrong with me. And then on top of that, I was the Bible teacher at Christian Life, and I shouldn't have had any demons at all. We all got our demons, don't we? We do. But all those things were like playing on my mind. And then I think, well, I don't want to tell anybody I needed deliverance because, oh my goodness, I'm the Bible teacher, you know? But you know what? By my being willing to say I needed it helps other people realize they need it too. You see, we sometimes try to cover up and hide our junk because, again, there's a degree of shame there's a spirit of shame. The devil wants you to be full of shame and guilt with his garbage, with what he's done. See, that doesn't belong to you, does it? So quit taking ownership of it. Okay, there was a man that was unable to respond to God as Father, and his emotions were completely locked up. He had experienced rejection in early childhood that had left a strong reaction of anger, hate, rebellion, deep insecurity, inadequacy, inferiority, self-rejection, as well as critical, this sounds like most people, pride, fear of failure, domination, self-protection. The outward expression was anger and hate, while inwardly his deep hurts had blocked off early memories and it had prevented him from being able to show any kind of emotion. When he got free, he was, you know, just like even that little girl last week that came up, and I don't even think she's here today, but my goodness, to be able to turn around, she cried and cried and cried. All those emotions that were pent up were released. And then she was able to turn around and tell her mother for the first time, Mommy, I love you. Oh, I just think that's so miraculous. You see, but all those things get locked up. Okay. There's a demonic spirit also called the orphan spirit, and is clearly linked to a lack of love, care, affectionate touch, security, and right discipline in a person's early months or years. Ultimately, a spirit may seek to oppress such a person. He has a sense of being orphaned, and it does not even necessarily mean that that person has to really be an orphan physically, where the parents have died, but there's like an emotional or a spirit of being orphaned. So that person then feels like he's orphaned, abandoned, regardless of whether both parents were there or not, and he lives in resistance to receiving love from other people. When you come up to people and you greet them and you catch them pulling back from you. Did you ever have that happen? Walls of self-protection right away, see? And they're afraid of being hurt. They're afraid of you getting into their life. They're afraid of you finding out something about them, because if you found it out, you might not like them. It's all that rejection in it. We hide. Control is another issue closely linked with rejection. It is a conscious or unconscious power over another person that manifests to domination as domination, superiority, or emotional manipulation. If you do this, you are in control. You are in a controlling spirit. It becomes like an, like I said, an unconscious power over another person, and it wants to be superior. It wants to emotionally manipulate, and you need to stop it. Because when you do that, you are borderlining like a controlling witchcraft spirit. I used to, out of fear, before we got into any of the deliverance stuff years ago, always try to control my kids so they would never have anything bad happen to them and they would never do anything wrong. You know, so I really, really did. And when I realized that, oh my goodness, all of this couples in, and I didn't find this out till later, but you know, when you try to control another person, especially children, parents, you can't control your children. You can nurture them, train them, discipline them correctly, raise them up the way they should go, but you can't control them, because control does damage. You see, then when you control a child, you rob them also of their ability, or even other people. When we control a spouse or a friend, we are robbing them of their ability to even know who they are. We're like taking their identity from them. So you need to stop that. And you need to ask if you're doing it. And I really feel there are people here that does that. And that's why I think I need to address this. Ask God to help you, but command that spirit of control broken in your life and tell it to leave you in the name of Jesus, because you do not have the right to control any other human being. That's it. You cannot do that, because you will rob them of, and God literally, of being who he wants to be, because that person submits to your control and they live their life out of your personality, which apparently is warped if you're trying to control them. Okay. All right. I think I'm going to skip that. Okay, this is a good one. A child rejected and traumatized in the early years can be stunted in his or her emotional growth, and demonic bondage may also be present. Many adults, in part, are like little boys or little girls and react with inappropriate emotions to certain situations. Sometimes people can react childish, and other times they can just feel like a child all the time. But see, what that is it's stunted behavior or stunted growth. Now, if that's prevalent in your life, this is the way I would deal with it. Anyway, it can be called arrested development, arrested behavior, stunted growth, whatever. But it's like someplace in that person's life when they grew up, and this can get into fragmentation and stuff like that too, but where they were locked up at that place, and they somehow, because of that lockup or even a fragmenting, they never grew beyond that in that arena of their life. Now, they might have grown in some other areas in their life, but in that area, and then every now and then you have that arrested place, that little boy or that little girl that reacts, okay? So it's important that you recognize that even in your own life, so that you can, number one, get that person, that part of your life released. And normally that part of your life, if it's locked up, will be released through you forgiving whoever hurt you. You always have to bring in forgiveness and then command out of your life, like we're talking rejection here right now. So rejection, any traumatization, any violation, and then ask the Holy Spirit to reintegrate that little broken part and grow it back up. We prayed for a guy one time. This is so cool. Actually, his wife is sitting here today. And he and I were, we walked him out of captivity, and he'd been abused as a child. He was abused very much, especially by his mom. And while we were, and so there were parts in his life that he felt just were fragmented and broken. And so as we were walking him out of that captivity and getting him released from those areas in his life, he said he saw Jesus and him walking hand in hand. And he started out like this little boy. And he said, as Jesus and I walked and we prayed through that, he said, I just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger up until he was what he was now. Isn't that cool? See how God will supernaturally meet you wherever you're at if you will let him. See, when you're ready to deal with some of these issues, when you won't deal with the issues, you're keeping them away from God. And God wants to get in there and help you. He wants to get you free. And if there's areas that you are kind of stunted in those, he wants to grow you up. And God can supernaturally grow you up just like that. I've seen that over and over and over with people. That's something, you could maybe say a prayer for that, but I'll tell you what, that to me is one of the most supernatural manifestations of God I've ever seen when I've watched God grow people up or reintegrate them when they're so broken. Okay, I'm just going to quickly go over some of the fruits and then we're going to quit. Okay, these are fruits that relate to rebellion. And these would be things that you're going to want to recognize possibly might be in your life. If these are you, use them as kind of like an identity mark for yourself. Okay, fruits that are relating to rebellion. Harshness, you're severe and use rough language. It doesn't mean just cursing. You can be a very kind of person where you're controlling people with the tone of your voice. It can be tone. It can be loudness. It can be sarcasm when you speak to a person. Okay, and that is rebellion. Hardness. Unyielding and impenetrable attitude. In other words, you will not bend because you are right. And that other person's the one that has to bend, not you. Well, basically, it's just a spirit of rebellion. Unbelief, refusal, our ability to believe, skepticism, having strong doubt, our undermining attitudes, defiance, hostility, resistance, disobedience, pride, overly highly opinions of your own qualities. You just think you're it. You know, isn't it funny how rejection on one hand makes you feel you're it, and then on the other hand you're all insecure and inadequate, and you know, it's that dual personality that comes with that. Arrogance, a feeling of superiority shown in an overbearing attitude. Stubbornness, unwillingness to give up or to give way in a situation. In other words, they're going to move, not you. Anger, rage, fits of temper, smoldering anger, violence, destructive actions, bitterness, deep-rooted resentment, poisoned attitudes, addictions. Boy, this is another thing that comes in with, because it's a form of escapism, addictions, drugs, substance, alcohol, to remove that emotional pain rather than face it. Occultism, New Age practices, idolatry, legalism, exalting the law over grace. Ooh. Are you rigid? It's rebellion to when you exalt law over grace. If you have a problem with exalting law, legalism over grace, take some time and get Joseph Prince's book, Destined to Reign. That is one of the best books that will help deliver you out of legalism. Amazing book. All of his teachings are amazing. Pastor Kevin had us, that was a required reading for the staff a couple years ago. It is amazing. Read it. Joseph Prince, Destined to Reign. So legalism does not come from God. It comes from the devil. God is not legalistic. Okay, being argumentative, giving to quarrelings and disputes, vengeful tendency to retaliate verbally or physically, aggressive, pushy, offensive behavior, controlling, domination, or manipulation of others, refusing to receive affection, and refusing to give. It's an inability to give love or receive love. Okay, fruits that relate to self-rejection. You probably see yourself in all three of these, at least to some degree. Okay, self-rejection would be a negative self-image, the belief that I'm worthless, inferiority, the sense of being lower than others, inadequacy, the inability to cope with tasks, the words that I can't, or you don't feel you're smart enough, you feel you're stupid, okay? You just don't have what it takes. Sadness, intense unhappiness, depression, grief, anguish, feelings of loss, shame, feelings of disgrace and humiliation. Self-rejection always brings that shame. Self-accusation, constant sense of guilt or being wrong. You just feel like, in fact, people who do that actually are quick to get on the defensive also, because you've got that wall of defense up because you don't want to be accused of being the wrong one in that place. Self-accusation, constant sense, I just read that one, of being wrong. Self-condemnation, a sense of needing to be punished. Inability to accept praise. When somebody tells you a compliment, you can't receive it. Learn how to receive it and say thank you. Also, a sense of needing to be punished would, I guess, even come into the self-mutilating area. An inability to communicate. Fear of failure or having panic attacks or anxiety attacks. Insecurity is a lack, or in having a lack of confidence. This is all self-rejection. Disappointment, constant sense of having unfulfilled desires. Loneliness, isolation and pain of being alone. Hopelessness, despair, feeling like there's no way out. Wrong expectations, inappropriate assumptions. Seeking to please, needing to find favor with everyone. It means you just think everybody has to like you. They should like us, but they don't. Anxiety, you know, sometimes people don't like me, but they don't like me because it's the spirits that are in them that don't like me. And so sometimes when people don't like me, I will automatically begin to question, I wonder why they don't like me. And then I realize it's a spirit-to-spirit thing. Because sometimes it's just that too, you know. I really truly believe I am not a person that the devil likes to come up to. And there are certain people who have certain spirits, and they just don't like being around me because those things know that I know them. You know, that's how my people are too, our team is. I mean, you get that way, you become known in the spirit realm, you really do. Because like I said, you become so familiar with working with people that, you know, you can come up and I can look at somebody and pretty much know a lot of times, or just talk with them a little bit, know what they need to be delivered of. Infirmity, sickness, physical disability brought on by self-rejection. Boy, that's a good one to think about. You know, if you start rejecting yourself, you are telling yourself you're not worth being whole. You know? Anxiety, worry, fretfulness, and apprehension. Okay, fruits that relate to self-protection. Pressure to perform. I must be competent in order to gain acceptance. Pressure to achieve. I must be successful in everything. Striving, trying too hard, strenuous effort that causes more inner conflict. False responsibility, taking on inappropriate burdens. Restlessness, drivenness, being driven, having an inability to settle or to find contentment and peace. Competitiveness, I must be superior to everyone else. It's almost like an obsessive compulsive behavior. Independence, I can do without you, I will do everything myself. And that is another one that's huge. A person with a lot of rejection becomes a very independent spirit because they shut everybody else out. And they shut God out. And they decide because nobody else is there for me. God is not there for me. I'm just going to have to figure this one out on my own. Self-centeredness. I'm only interested in myself. Selfishness. Self-justification. Always seeking to make an excuse for myself. Criticism. Constantly finding fault. Disapproving and undermining. Judgmentalism. Authoritatively. Hostile attitudes towards other people, jealousy, suspicion of others who have what you want, envy, jealousy, an intense desire to have what others have, self-pity, feeling sorry for yourself, sulking, your attention on yourself, poor me, possessiveness, needing to hold on to or control things or others, perfectionism, excessive need to get everything right, false gratification, looking for comfort from wrong sources. And again, that could be, sex, food, drugs, alcohol. Self-deception, no one understands me, having a false belief network, fear of betrayal, unwillingness to trust others, rejection of others, often in situations when others are under pressure, or there's pressure in relationships. Unreality, withdrawal into a fantasy world, avoidance of reality, shyness, timidity, uneasiness, avoidance of other people. Now, I'm going to pray into these things corporately for you right now. I'm just going to call them all off. So if I said any of these things and they're you, take a deep breath and release it. Cough it out. Get it out. Tell it to go. Work with me, okay? So we're going to go after these things. And, one thing you never have to be is embarrassed in this place, because every person you ever have pray for you in this place, we all had our own. So the reason we're doing the ministry we're doing is because, remember what I said to you? You know, God will use you for what you got free of. So we are all people who have gotten free of stuff. All right? Okay, now I'm going to lead you in a prayer. So I want you to repeat after me. And then I'm going to call these things out of you. Okay, I want you to say, Father God, I repent to you for listening to a lying spirit that has accused me and told me that I was rejected. When I listen to that, I have made man or voices or myself a God. And I have made you, Father, a liar. I repent to you for allowing rejection, for allowing all these roots of rejection and all these fruits of rejection for ruling my life. I repent to you, Father, for turning away from your love and not accepting it unconditionally. I repent for my fear of man, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, I repent for my unbelief and my doubt. I repent for my faithlessness and ignorance. I repent for not standing on what your word says about me. I repent for the sins of my ancestry that have followed this course and then came into my life. I acknowledge this iniquity, and I repent for it, and I command it this day to be removed from my life, out of my body, out of my organs, out of my bones, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I accept your love according to the word of God. I choose to mix it with my faith. I accept you, Father, as my heavenly Father, once and for all. I am not rejected. My inheritance is that of a son or daughter, a finished product now. I accept you, Father, as you have accepted me. My family may have been full of rejection, but I do not have to be a carrier of rejection in my generation any longer. In the name of Jesus. Rejection, I come out of agreement with you. You are not to rule my life. You are a lying spirit. Today, I choose to come into agreement with what the Father says about me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am accepted in the Beloved, in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to go to the depths of the roots of every issue in my life and expose everything that needs to be exposed in Jesus' name. Expose every source of rejection and betrayal that I have felt in my life. Expose any form of rejection that's been hidden in my life that keeps me from receiving what you have for me, whether it be healing, deliverance, provision. Lord, expose the darkness in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, lead me to whatever is hindering. And then, Father, I ask that you would minister into any place where I have judged myself as unworthy and of no value. Holy Spirit, minister into any inadequacy and expose any spirit that has tapped into that inadequacy in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to minister into my identity of who I am in Christ Jesus. I speak to rejection. Rejection, this day, I remove your permission to be in my life. And I remove every one of your cohorts in the name of Jesus. All fruits of rejection, I command you to remove in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now I'm just going to begin to pray. And as I begin praying, first I'm going to do the fruits of rebellion. I'm going to do then self-rejection and self-protection. And then by your choice, you just begin to release it. All right? And you can even speak to it. You can mimic. You can say the same things that I'm saying. And just say, if I say harshness, you go, yes, harshness, you go from me in the name of Jesus. That's you. You speak to it and get it out. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ right now, I bind that strong man in Jesus' name. And I command the spirit of rebellion to bow its knee that's tied in with a spirit of rejection. Father, in the name of Jesus, I sever every cord right now. I cut those linkings in the name of Jesus, and I command all of the harshness to go. I command rough language and controlling language and abusive language to come out in the name of Jesus. Expel. I command even yelling and screaming in the name of Jesus to get your way, to be able to manipulate and control. In the name of Jesus, all that abusive language, expel. Come out now. All of the yelling and the screaming that you use to control other people, that you use to control your children, that you use to control your spouse, expel in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. Even if you used to do it, but you're not doing it now and you've not gotten deliverance for it, I command that spirit to manifest and come out in the name of Jesus. All that manipulating, controlling, verbal abuse, expel in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that hardness, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out that unyielding attitude. I will not. You come out in the name of Jesus. All that stubbornness, loose, expel in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. All that perverse stubbornness, stubborn, obstinate stubbornness. I speak even to an obstinate, stubborn disease. And I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord, that stubborn, obstinate disease that refuses to move. I say you will move and you will come out. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, expel. I command every spirit of unbelief come out. Even an inability to believe, an inability to receive from God, expel. foul. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. Even where you feel what you've dealt with is too big for God, I command that lying spirit that has acted like a Goliath in your life, I command right now that thing to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, expel all that skepticism. Come out, all that doubt in the name of Jesus, all that defiance, all that hostility, come out in the name of Jesus. All of that anger, all that frustration, expel in the name of Jesus. Come up and out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that pride, come out. Come out, all that pride that covers up and hides your insecurity, hides your inadequacy, hides the self-hate and the self-bitterness. You spirit of pride, come out. You spirit of arrogance, you spirit of selfishness, you antichrist spirit, you Luciferian spirit, come out in the name of Jesus. Expel, loose God's people, those lying spirits of pride, come out in the name of Jesus. All that self-centeredness of pride, come out, come up and out in the name of Jesus. Come out, all that idolatry, all that focus, me, 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 what about me? I'm hurt, I'm the one, you spirit of self, come out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that arrogance, come out in the name of Jesus. All that superiority, come out in the name of Jesus. Expel, come up and out in Jesus' name. Come out, all that bitterness, come out, that resentment, all that poison, come out, come out. All that poison of rejection, come out, come out. Spirits of poison, spirits have poison of rejection that have poisoned your mind, poisoned your will, poisoned your attitudes, poisoned your responses. I command, expel, come out in the name of Jesus. I command every mocking spirit, come out. I command any spirit of resistance that's wanting to mock, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. I say you will come under subjection to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in this house, and you will go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you will go. You will loose in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to come under subjection to the cross, to the defeat of the enemy in the name of Jesus. I command right now, refusing to give love, all that lockup, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, that refusing to give love, that refusing to receive it, expel in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord. All that legalism, come out, come up and out. That exalting of law over grace, come out, come out. Where you exalt law over grace, where you exalt rules over grace, where you exalt man-made laws and man-made forms and man-made ways of doing things over the grace of God, I command right now that mindset of control broken in the name of Jesus. And I command right now that belief system, all that drivenness, expel, come out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, putting more emphasis on man's approval than God's approval. Come out in the name of Jesus, caring more about what people think about you than what God thinks about you. Expel in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus. Now loose that. You loose that from within you. You speak to that and you say, I do not want you. And I tell you to go by faith. I'm telling this thing to go in the name of Jesus. It's not about whether you feel it or you don't feel it. You tell it to go by faith in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I speak right now to a fruit of self-rejection. And I command that negative self-image come out. Come out. in the name of Jesus. All that self-hate, come out. That feeling of being worthless, come out. Come out. All that worthlessness, come out. Come out. All that hidden worthlessness, all that insecurity, all that inferiority, come out. Expel in the name of Jesus. Come up and out in the name of Jesus. That feeling that you're not as good as others, expel. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. That feeling that you are not as important to God, come out. In the name of Jesus, all the lies, all the deception, come out. In the name of Jesus, those lying, deceiving spirits, come out. In the name of Jesus, all that inadequacy, expel. Never feeling good enough, feeling like I can't, expel. In the name of Jesus, come out. Expel in the name of Jesus. Come up and out. All that depression, all that sadness, all that sorrow, come out. Spirit of depression, come out in the name of Jesus. Expel all that grief, all that anguish, come up and out in the name of Jesus. Come out. That empty place on the inside, that deep sense of loss, expel all that injustice, come out. Come out loose in the name of Jesus. All that injustice, that feeling of like literally like you've been robbed. I command right now that feeling of loss, that deep sense of loss to come out of you in the name of Jesus. That void, that empty feeling, that feeling of you're always looking for love but never being able to find it. Going from place to place, wandering, come out. Wandering from place to place, going from person to person looking for love and never finding. Going from place to place to find acceptance and never finding it. I call that out of you in the name of Jesus. Let go. Come out. Come up and out in the name of Jesus. All of that hurt, all that deep woundedness, all of that compromise where you compromise who you are just to be accepted. Come out in the name of Jesus. Expel in the name of Jesus. All of the worthlessness, all that insecurity, come out in the name of Jesus. All of that shame, bearing shame, always feeling like there's something wrong with me and that you have to be ashamed of who you are. I command that shame, come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus, that feeling and that sense of shame that's always, it's almost like an aura around you. I rebuke it. I command it to go. It's almost like a cloud that has followed you through life. And I command it to go now in the name of Jesus. Expel. Go. You generational spirit of rejection. Get out of these people now in the name of Jesus. We ask God right now, send your angels to remove them to the abyss in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord, and we say they will not return in the name of Jesus. All that self-condemnation, come out. Come out. Those condemning voices, those accusing voices, expel. Come out. All that condemnation, come out in the name of Jesus. I command literally, it's a voice of condemnation from other people where you were condemned either as a child. It could be the voice of your father, the voice of your mother, the voice of a grandparent, the voice of a teacher, the voice of a pastor, someone over you spiritually. I command a condemning voice that you still listen to. I command that voice of condemnation to go. In the name of Jesus, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. There's even a voice of condemnation that's come up out of the generations and followed you because one of your parents carried it and it's just followed you and condemns you. I command that condemning generational voice, expel. Go in the name of Jesus. Expel loose in Jesus' name. All that self-accusation, come out in the name of Jesus. Come up and out in the name of Jesus. Even that feeling that you need to be punished, I command self-mutilating, self-cutting, self-hate, come out in the name of Jesus. Not liking yourself. Expel in the name of Jesus. All those voices that tell you to hurt yourself, I command those voices to go in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. And I don't give these things an option. I say you will leave. You will go in the name of Jesus. You will release your victim now in the name of Jesus. I command right now every entrapment where any victim is being held right now. I break that snare. I break those chains. I break that ensnarement in the name of Jesus. And I call you out of that place of self-rejection in Jesus' name. I call you out. I say, get up, come out of the darkness in the name of Jesus. Be loose. Be free, angels, take them and move them out of that place in the name of Jesus. I command right now, anxiety, come out. Fear, panic attacks, expel. Come out. Obsessive, compulsive behavior, come out. Paranoia, come out. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loose, expel, come out, come out. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come up and out. That victim spirit, come out. That spirit of violation, in the name of Jesus, come out. That spirit of abuse, expel in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, expel, come up and out in Jesus' name. All that infirmity, all that sickness, autoimmune disorders, come out. Come out. Viruses, come out in the name of Jesus. I speak death to viruses in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command life to come back into your autoimmune system in the name of Jesus. I speak wholeness into the immune systems in the name of Jesus. I command right now that spirit of self-protection. I command all the walls come down in the name of Jesus. Every wall. I command the walls to shatter in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command those walls to be broken down. We dismantle every wall of hurt, every wall of self-protection, every wall of fear in the name of Jesus. Come down and go. All the walls of inadequacy, all the walls of self-protection, all the walls of frustration and anger, come down and go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command that spirit right now to go from this place. Come down in Jesus' name. Concrete walls that have been built around your heart for years and years and years. I speak to those walls, those cement walls, and I say, you will come down in the name of Jesus. You will loose God's people in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord. All that self-protection, all that fear of not being good enough, all that fear, come down. Walls of fear, come out. Come out, fall to the ground, dismantle in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We break them down. We take the word of God and like a hammer, we break in pieces that wall of stubborn resistance in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say, loose God's people in the name of Jesus. Loose them, walls of doubt, walls of unbelief. Come down in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all those walls of self-rejection, come down and go. Dismantle, loose in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I unlock your prison with the authority of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I declare no more chains, no more chains, no more chains. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command competitiveness, where you always feel you have to compete to even make it in life. In the name of Jesus. It's not a competitive sport spirit. It's where you just feel you have to even compete to be even to hold your head above water at times. I command that spirit of competitiveness that is always just trying to drown you. I command that to go. I command that spirit that literally tries to drown you and reject you from success. In Jesus' name, I command that to go. In the name of Jesus, expel. Loose, let go in the name of Jesus. All that pressure to perform, all that pressure to achieve, all that pressure to just be accepted and be liked. Take a deep breath. Some of you need to release it. Some of you are just sitting there saying, no, you let it go in the name of Jesus. Release it. It's your choice in the name of Jesus. Every bit of it, come out. All that independence. I don't need God. I don't need anybody. I'm going to do this on my own. Expel. Come out. All that self-government. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Come out. That antichrist. I can do it. I. Expel. Come out. That humanistic spirit. Come out. Come out. That humanistic spirit of independence, evolution. Come out. Secularism. Come out in the name of Jesus, where you've escaped into much learning. You've escaped into humanism. You've escaped into fantasy. I command right now, go in the name of Jesus. Expel, expel in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loose and let go in Jesus' name. Oh, okay. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, I want you to just take and pull those chains back right now. Break them off yourself. Break them off yourself. In the name of Jesus, remove them. Just remove all that off of you in the spirit realm. Say, I am coming. No more chains. I'm not going to let these chains of rejection hold me any longer. In the name of Jesus, no more chains in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, go. Go from God's people in Jesus' name. I command that critical, self-centered spirit loose and let go in the name of Jesus. Expel, come up and out in the name of Jesus. All that perfectionism, come out, come up and out. All that possessiveness, expel, come out, loose and let go. Jealousy, envy, self-pity, come out in the name of Jesus. Release God's people. Double-mindedness, come out. All that double-mindedness, come out. Come out. All the self-hate, expel in the name of Jesus. Come out of God's people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, judgmental spirits, deception, lying spirits, spirits that lie. In the name of Jesus, all that self-deception, come out in the name of Jesus. All that root of bitterness from being rejected, come out. Come out. Roots of bitterness and resentment, come out. Come out, that bitter root, all that acrimony, come out. Wanting to get even, all that revenge, wishing evil, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, wishing evil on others because they've wronged you. Expel in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. Now, I just want you to take a deep breath and release all of that, all of it, in Jesus' name. And I declare that not one spirit, if you didn't want it to stay, it cannot stay. Everything we called out and more, every spirit of darkness, every form of rejection, whether it be rejecting healing today in the name of Jesus, you that has caused people to reject their healing, I cast you out in Jesus' name. Those lies, expel in the name of Jesus. Infirm spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. The spirit of infirmity that's tied in with control, that's tied in with fear, I dismantle you and I command you to go in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak to infirmity in the organs, in the name of Jesus, and I command infirmity in the organs, expel, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak to tiredness, and I command it to go, fatigue and weariness. There's like a deep weariness, and almost to your bones, you're just tired all the time. I command that weariness to expel. That's tied in with depression. Go in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus. All that faithlessness, come out in the name of Jesus. Even feeling like you don't even have faith anymore, I command right now all that discouragement to go in the name of Jesus. Expel in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray into areas of brokenness. Father, in areas where, God, people literally have been stunted in areas of their life when they were young. And Father God, today, Lord God, we go into those places by the authority of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we go in and we unlock those places right now in the name of Jesus. And we say right now, every demonic spirit that has locked them into prisons, God, to stunt them, God, we command those doors to be opened today in the name of Jesus. We unlock them with that authority and we say, come forth out of that prison in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask God right now that you would heal into those places, God, that you would heal into those areas of brokenness. Just let him do that for you right now. Just let him do that and grow them up, God. Reintegrate them and grow them up in Jesus' name. Lord, take that little girl and Lord, reintegrate her, cleanse her, God, of all of the hurt and all of the woundedness and the fear, God. And just, Lord, reintegrate her and grow her up right now, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, establish her in righteousness, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. And Father, just take that little boy, God, and cleanse him, God, of all the fear and the anxiety, God. God, of all of the disapproval that he's had on his life, Lord, of all of the anxiety, God, all of the trauma, Lord, and just cleanse him, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, take that little boy and reintegrate him, oh God, and grow him up. Heal into those places, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Just drobo sengraba sata bro shiririo bro sundara de case. El mungreta mungleta mungrata tia sorabada helo bosuria sata mrenzo brenzo brenzo riakada in masada. Lord, I just speak wholeness into those areas, oh God, right now. Be whole. Be whole in the name of Jesus. Be whole in the name of Jesus. Be whole in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, bless your people, Lord. God, give us understanding. Give us revelation, God, that we are finished, Lord. We are a finished product, God, that you, Lord, have provided all that we need, oh God. And Lord, give us the wisdom, oh God, and the ability to lay hold of all that you have for us, God. Lord, I ask that you take the people here, God, and that, God, you would show them, God, areas, God, that they've been questioning, God, areas where they've needed godly counsel, Father. I ask, God, that Holy Spirit, you'd visit them, that, Lord, you'd give them dreams and visions, Lord. God, that you would bring proper connections to them, Lord. Divine appointments, God, in the name of Jesus, God. The things they need to come into wholeness, God. I ask, God, that you bring that forth in the name of Jesus, Lord. Bless their homes, bless their families, bless their finances. God, bless their physical bodies, bless their children in the name of Jesus, Father. Empower them, oh God, to prosper, Lord. And Lord, I pray that they will sit and say, that's me. I can do this in Christ in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. You know, when we first got started in this, we just would cast stuff out of ourselves. If we could find it, it was going to go, you know? And just even what I've said today, if negative feelings come up to you, speak to those things. Tell them to leave in the name of Jesus. The Bible says to resist the devil. And what does he do? He leaves. So that's our part. Amen. Praise the Lord.